and that, Lord, your name will be glorified in this place. Thank you, Lord. Just say we pray. Amen. Church, let us remain standing as we go into a time of scripture reading. Today's scripture reading is taken from Mark chapter 4, 33 to 34. It reads, "With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the word of God." Church, please be seated and let us invite our Reverend YC for today's message.
Thank you. Good morning, church. It's good to see all of you. Very fast that 1 month has passed for 2026. Now we're entering into the second month of this year. I'm sure that many of you have some plan in mind for 2026. Some of you probably have written your PDP, some have not. Some don't know what to do with this year. But whether this is thing, our life moves on and we want to grow. Growing is something that's natural in life. So it's a natural phenomenon happening in our faith life as well, that we grow over time. We grow from year to year. So if you want to grow, we have to learn to grow. You don't just grow naturally, yes, but there are ways that we grow, especially in our faith life. So today, I'm going to talk about learning from the Master Jesus and how he has taught us and how we should respond and how we should learn. So in summary, I just give a journey from hearing to understanding. This is what learning is about. From hearing to understanding, of course, after understanding, then we can practice that, then it will outflow from our life through time, through intimate relationship with Jesus. Now, in Mark chapter 4, at the very beginning to the end, you realize that Jesus has shared or has taught to the people around him. And he has used parable, many parables, 3 to 4 parables, the parable of the sower, the parable of the growing seed, the parable of the mustard seed. But in between, there's this phrase that, like a refrain that came playing. He said that, Jesus said, "Whoever has ear to hear, let them hear. Or whoever, anyone have ear, let him hear." Now, if you're familiar with the Bible, this particular phrase appears many times in one particular book of the Bible. Anyone know which book? The book of Revelation, right? The book of Revelation, no, the letters to the seven churches. Then after each church said that, no, let him who have ear hear, let him who have ear hear. All right? So, look at that Jesus said, whoever has ear to hear, let them hear. In other words, that whoever that take heart, whoever that have show interest, whoever that's keen to learn, whoever really want to know, eager, hunger, thirst for it, then let them hear what I have said to them. So, but you realize that in Jesus' ministry, especially in the teaching ministry, there's some peculiar thing or some striking feature about Jesus' ministry. The first thing is that you realize that everyone heard him, but not everyone understood him in the same way, isn't it? Even as I say, you know, if I preach after this sermon, if I ask a few of you, probably each one of you have some different takeaway, right? So everyone heard him, the crowd heard him, but not everyone understood him in the same way. Just like you have a meeting in your school or in your office, you know, project meeting. At the end, sometimes you misunderstood one another. You wanted to hear the same thing, right? The second is that the crowds heard parable, but the disciple, they heard explanation. That's the difference between the crowd and the disciple. So, same word, same teachers, but there's a different depth. Everybody hear the same thing, but the disciple heard the explanation. In other words, same teacher, different depth. So all of us heard the good news. Everyone come to church, heard the sermon every Sunday. But different people will receive it at a different level according to your heart, according to your mind, the state of your mind as well, right? So the question I ask is that, am I only hearing Jesus publicly? Publicly means that in a gathering like this, you know, church service, or you attend some talk or some conferences, Christian conferences, right? Are you only hearing Jesus publicly, or am I learning from him privately? So there's this public aspect, and there's also private aspect of the teaching of Jesus. So I want to introduce you to something. This is not MOE or whatever, or some social study. It's called relationship-based learning. Okay, this is just a word to help us understand. You realize that if you want to grow in our faith life, one very important thing, we always talk about relationship with God. So what inducted us into the faith? It's a relationship. I don't know whether you share with a non-Christian friend, you say, oh, actually, Christianity is not really a religion. It's about relationship, about God's relationship with us, right? We'll use that. So relationship has inducted us into the kingdom of God. So should our learning be. Faith or relationship should also induce us or bring us or brought us into the learning, the proper learning, so that we can grow as Jesus meant for us to grow. So I want all of you to remember this, okay? You forget everything today, just remember this. Hope that it will stick with you. Revelation is relational. Okay, everyone speak. Revelation is relational. Okay, don't know what I mean, right? Okay, I'm going to explain that. What I mean by that? Revelation is relational. In Psalm 25, 14, it says that the secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him. Does the Lord have secret? A parable is almost a half a secret. You understand part of it, you don't quite exactly know exactly, accurately what it takes to say. It leaves room for imagination. It leaves room for your own interpretation, according to where you stand or the state that you are in, right? So, but the secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him. Who are the people who fear Him? The people that who fear God are the people that who are related to Him. You fear God, you don't fear God for nothing, right? So you fear God, in other words, for us Christians, say that, oh, we are become Christians, no? We accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. So we have this relationship with Him. And then God is going to reveal His secret through His Word by His Spirit to us. So biblically, you can tell that revelation is always relational. When Jehovah, the Old Testament name for God, wants to say something to the world, does He just call anyone from the pagan country? No. He called His own prophet from Israel. He called the prophet, He called Jeremiah, He called Isaiah. He even called Moses to deliver the people out of Egypt. And He called Samuel. He called the people that He has relation with, so these people can hear Him. These people can receive correctly the message. If you talk to anyone else, talk to the Syrian and talk to, they don't first know that whether you are the true God or you're not the true God. So you realize that the revelation is relational in structure or in the foundation. So you realize that depth of understanding or learning, it's not so much a determined by intelligence. Often we think that, oh, why are you so smart? You read the Bible, you understand. Or because, you know, or you're more logical thinking, you're more learned, you know, you're more gifted in this kind of thing. Is that just that? The Bible says very clearly, God chose the weak to shame the strong, chose the unwise or the fool to shame the wise. So all of us are qualified to know the depth, to know the secret of God if we fear God. It will be revealed and made known to us. So understanding flows from belonging. Who do you belong to? In a relationship, let's say in a family, you get to know one another, not just every day you sit down and talk, not analyze one another, you know. You don't sit down and analyze one another in a family. You just know one another through your interaction, through eating and drinking, playing, quarreling, whatever that you do together. You get to know each other through all these activities. Of course, some conversation involved. But you don't sit there and analyze the person. For 10 years, you don't say, oh, now I know my mom because I spent the last five years analyzing my mom. You don't do that. So relationship with God, the growing and learning is the same thing. Our relationship with God stems from belonging. We belong to Him. And because we belong to Him, He can reveal to us. Okay, I'll talk about more of that later. So what is the key difference? The key difference is you realize that Jesus spoke the word to the crowd. But when He was alone with His own disciple, He explained everything. And that's the difference between the crowd and the people, right? So you may think that this is elitism. Wow, 偏心啊, Yesu only choose a few and then tell them the more secretive, more deeper stuff, you know, more richer stuff than the rest. It's not. Basically, it's a relationship. Jesus knows well that it's a relationship-based revelation. I say that all that God has to say is always through relational. God chooses a people who has relationship with Him to convey His message, to convey His heart desire, right? So to the crowd, they come to Jesus because they may admire Jesus. They came to listen. Why not? Just as some people come to church. 我喜欢来教会听道理,很好听. 我喜欢教会因为,哇, very nice people. So I come to listen, not because I really hunger for this. Just, it's nice things to listen. It may help me. I feel comforted sometimes by the message, you know, so I like to come to church. But two, the disciples, they are very different. Who are these disciples? Remember, this is Mark chapter 4. What happened from Mark 1 to Mark 3? The disciple has left the nets. The disciple has left the boat. The disciple has left the father and they follow Jesus. So in that state, they listen to the parable of Jesus. Compared to a bypasser who just dropped by, oh, somebody is speaking something. Chouzhe now, I go up there and listen to what this guy have to say. All hear the same word. But the depth of that you get out of it is very different. So today, some word may mean a lot to you, but to a non-believer, to somebody who have no relationship with God, it may not mean anything at all. Right? So they came to follow and rearrange their life around Jesus. So he realized that the disciples, they received a deeper revelation. The general revelation is for all, right? Jesus speak, most of the time he preached publicly as well, but he also give like a private coaching, like a private class to the disciples. Today, it's the same thing. Sometimes you, into your little cell group, then you discuss or you talk something that's deeper in your family, in your close friend. It's deeper. You get to understand, you get to know. All right? I just share with you from John 1. Just an illustration. In John chapter 1, about John the Baptist who just came to the foreground and he's preaching, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand, right? So the next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. Who is Jesus then? Jesus just appeared on the scene, burst into the scene. And nobody knows beside Jesus, Joseph's son, the carpenter's son. That's all they know, Jesus. But who is the one there who recognized him? It is John the Baptist. So John the Baptist recognized Jesus. He's just more than a carpenter's son. So he's introducing him, his new identity, his true identity, to his disciple. And how did he introduce Jesus? He introduced him, look, the Lamb of God. You see a person here? But actually it's a lamb. It's a Lamb of God. And then what happened? When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? Maybe you say, Jesus, why my master call you Lamb of God? Can you explain? Please explain. Is it something like this? No. They say that. Turning around, Jesus saw them, asked them, what do you want? They say, Rabbi, which is teacher, where are you staying? Where do you live? He said, come and see. So, and you will see. Okay, so they went and saw where he was staying and they spent that day with him and they spent the time with Jesus. They spent the time with Jesus. And after that, something happened. So it's about Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of two who heard that John had said that and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, look, the Lamb of God. We have found the Lamb of God. Isn't it? But he did not say that. He said what? We have found the Messiah. From the Lamb of God to the Messiah. There's a great transformation. There's a great deeper revelation of who Jesus is. And how did all this happen? The Bible did not tell us exactly. But what is in between? Very interesting. Where are you staying? And they stay with Jesus. So sometimes you need to stay with Jesus a period of time for you to have the deeper revelation of what God is saying of who he is. So that you don't introduce, oh, because my teacher John say the Lamb of God, so I introduce you to the Lamb of God. They have a new understanding, a revelation for themselves is the Messiah. And we have found him. Okay? So, quick one. So, beside the deeper revelation, you realize that there's also this progressive learning, okay? You know, the modern teaching is a progressive learning. But he put it very nicely. He says that with many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. A few of you are teachers here. You will not just load everything and say, okay, I've done my job, this is a syllable, I just cover my syllable. You understand, don't answer, you're pasa. You don't do that, right? You try to, as much as they could absorb, as much as they understand. If they don't quite understand, you slow down, right? And you repeat. and even give them some more questions to answer, more homework or some extra notes, supplement notes for them to, so they can understand. As much as they could understand, Jesus will look to them. So today, it depends on what is your capacity. It's not about the giver, it's about the receiver. The sky can pour all the rain down, but how much can you gain? How much can you contain the rainwater? Not depend on the, how much rain is being poured down, but it's how big a capacity, how big a vessel you are that you can take in that is from God. So this is a progressive learning. As much as you could understand, basically there's no limit to what God can pour into your life. As much as you want, as much as you could understand. So, in this process, they realize that many of them, they come to Jesus. But Jesus did not shame the ignorance. So when people come and ask you silly, so-called silly question or some question, huh? Why you ask such a question? Jesus never reject them. He just welcomed them. Honest questions about God, who you are? Why are you here? No, why like this thing happened to me? We can ask honest question and meet people of where they are. You know why Jesus tell parable? What are parable? What's the definition for parable? If you give your own definition. I have my own definition for parable. My own definition for parable is an earthly story that tells of a heavenly truth. I repeat. An earthly story that tells of a heavenly truth. That is a parable. So you can create your own parable. You can tell your own parable. Right? So you realize that this is what it is. And parable basically a story. You know, story connects. You don't know anybody, but when you tell a story, when you listen to a story, then you look at each other, dung, that's like a resonance, right? Story connects us. We maybe have different way of life, but story connects us. So that's where God connects with the people. All right? Jesus connects through the teaching. So he does not rush grow. Often we say that, oh, we must grow, study Bible, grow. Yes, we need to do that. But we, as much as you want to rush, you just cannot. So Jesus also know. Jesus also give it to them as much as they can understand, as much as they can receive. Jesus will give it to them. And then the third thing is that he does not flatten truth. What does it mean? In other words, why not Jesus be very straightforward? Give it to me. Don't give me all the flowery thing, lah, what parable, metaphor. Just tell it as it is. A lot of Singaporeans like it, like, tell me as it is, you know. No need, save my time. 重点讲重点. What the way, what the plant seed, lah, seed grow, lah, what. No need. But this is what it is. Why is it parables important? So parable invite hunger rather than confusion. Okay, let me go into a little bit about this purpose of parable. You look at parable as an invitation for the hungry. To hunger more. You realize that after the talk, after Jesus' teaching, most of the crowd dismissed. They went home. Who stayed with him? The disciples stayed with him. And then they have a private tutorial class with Jesus. And Jesus explained to them what are the parables. But the other people, they just listen and go. Why? Because there's no relationship. They are not a follower of Jesus. They don't go to Jesus. They have their own business to mend. They just go their way. Right? So, parable were not meant to confuse. You may think that, oh, because it's subject to interpretation, it's subject to so many types of variation. And then it may confuse. But the main purpose of it is to invite hunger. What does it mean? It means that those who are satisfied with surface meaning stay in the crowd. Just enough. I think I understand what it means. Oh, it means that we have to love another. This parable tells us that, okay, we must repent. Okay, I get it. That's it. Anything else? Nothing else? Okay, bye-bye. I go. But you're talking about those who were hungry, ask questions, and follow him home. How many of you become Christian because you don't ask any questions? How many of you? No question at all. The moment you hear it, you just accept it. Until today, no question asked. All of us have questions. Right? So why you have questions? Because you want to be sure. Because you want to know more. You want to know there is truth. You want to assure yourself as well. So that invitation. So Jesus gives an invitation. But only few will respond to the parable. They want to know. They want to pursue further. They want to know more. So they come to Jesus. And Jesus willingly give it to them, explain to them as much as they can understand. But those who are not interested to know more, they will just go. They are the crowd. Right? So what does discipleship mean then? So discipleship is not about knowing everything. You have to know all the systematic theology, you have to know a lot of stuff, know about all the different school of theological position of certain doctrine. Not just that, it's about being willing to learn everything that Jesus wants to teach over time. For example, in this period of time, God may tell you the lesson that you have to learn, maybe to let go of your control of things that you cannot control. Maybe this is the period of time that God dig up something and God is telling you that you need to forgive, for I have forgiven you. That is a lesson that God wants you to want to teach you, and God wants you to learn. And that's what you need to learn. It's not all the knowledge, all the things that you have to put into your little brain. It is not about that. Discipleship is willing to learn everything that Jesus wants to teach over time. Remember, progressive, over time. Not one time. You think once Jesus explained to them, the disciple understand? Jesus had told them, who want to be the leader? You serve. You become the servant of all. Then you have two brothers, very gung-ho, come to Jesus. Jesus, when you come, you become king next time. I sit on the right side, my brother sit at the left side. Jesus say, hey, what are you trying to do, man? Well, John, the apostles of love. Once they were with Jesus, they're coming by a village of Samaria. And then the Samaritan people don't like this Jewish, show black face to Jesus. Well, John, the master didn't get angry, but the disciple get angry and can give some proposal to the boss. Say, Jesus, you want me to call fire down from heaven to consume them? The apostles of love, by the way. Jesus say, what kind of heart you have? You think they understand? Just by one explanation? They did not. Same for us. Same for us. So sometimes we are not moving as fast and as improved so much. Do not lose heart, okay? Do not lose heart. God knows. As much as we are ready, He's willing to pour into us. The other one will be complementary teaching. Okay, quick one. Basically, there's public teaching. Realize that Jesus' teaching, a lot of them are public, okay? The discourse on a hill, the public teaching. And then typically public teaching are more like pronouncement, proclamation, okay? Repent and baptize, for the kingdom of God is at hand, and see who will respond. Some people respond. But in the private teaching, it's more of what? More of clarify. Hey, what does this meaning? What does this parable mean? Okay, then they also correct forms of character. Remember, two of them try to be seated on Jesus' right and left. Then Jesus need to correct them. So these things are not happened in the public sphere. It happened when they were alone and they were in small group with Jesus. So our life transformation doesn't just take place at sitting in a crowd like this, but it's at a very private encounter with God that our transformation change takes place. So we need both of them, right? So it inspires action while shaping our understanding. Now the third part is where I want to get into. Understanding learning. Why you want to learn? What is learning without understanding? If you don't understand, regardless how much you have learned, it's going to have no use for you. It's no benefit. No benefit, no profit at all for you. Okay? So the first thing, the myth that we want to debunk is that listening does not equal to learning. Today you come and you listen to my sermon and then you think that you learned something. Is that true? Listening may not necessarily equal to learning. You may just listen and then next week you totally forget and never put to action. So that learning is futile. Okay? The next one is that sermon is not meant to replace shared life. Why Jesus called the 12 disciples? I ask you why. Jesus can continue to be an OMO and go around village and then preach and preach and preach. One person, enough. Why need another 12 person tag along? Headaches or more. Why? Shared life. Community of faith, shared life. Your cell groups, shared life. Church, shared life. Life is important. Shared life, community is very important. That's why you have church. Why 12? Not call one only. Call 12 of them. Right? Even if it's problematic, Jesus will still hold the 12 together. Right? So, sermon may inspire, but conversation transforms. Often, you ask yourself, is a sermon may inspire for you to do something, for you to inspire you to, I want to study harder, I want to have put aside more time for meditation of God's word. You want to inspire you, but it's sometimes through all the conversation, the little conversation over a cup of coffee, somebody invited you for dinner, when you're more relaxed, conversation, more truthful, more genuine conversation, deeper conversation take place, and you realize that that actually changed you. Not so much of just a sermon, a good sermon. Yeah, it may inspire you, but often it's a conversation that transforms. And many of you like to know YouTube, a lot of information, podcasts. All this gives you a lot of information. But without accountability, it doesn't form your character. The character only can be formed out of accountability. How does you form a character of a child? The parents need to hold a child accountable. When you give them pocket money, you make sure they use it for food. Not go and buy all the rubber with all the different flag of different country. This is what my kid do. Don't want to eat, don't want to buy food, buy rubber, so many rubber. I said, no need to eat, rather not eat, just one rubber. Then you need to hold the person accountable. You know, this how, accountability. If you don't have accountability, you have all the information you use. So you realize that to really transform, to form, you need accountability. And that's why you have yourself, you have, we have mentoring program in the church, and then you have cell group leader, you have people that, you know, come, your brother and sister come along to help you, okay? So understanding requires intimacy. Now, I'm talking about these are not, you know, just those are academic understanding, but the true understanding of the truth of God, it need to have that intimacy as a foundation. So it says in the verse we read earlier on, it says what? When he was alone with his own disciple, there was this ownership, there was this belonging, as I say. It's belong. They belong to Jesus. They belong to Jesus' clan, the gang. All right? So he was alone with them. No other distraction, only Jesus with them. Do you have this time whereby you and Jesus alone, and then Jesus can expound to you what's happening, can explain to you what's going on, can tell you what you missed out. If you don't have that, then you're just like a crowd. You listen and you go away. Right? So how do we do that? The first is that you know, walk with Jesus. We say, just daily companionship. When you wake up today, you say, Jesus, thank you for this beautiful day. When you walk out, when you're on MRT and bus, you know that Jesus is with you. Today you live for Jesus. Then you share ordinary life. Whether it's happy things, sad things today, whether, you know, things go well, things go unwell. Some of you, you know, you have heard of this word, examine, E-X-A-M-E-N. You practice it, you know, every day you kind of review your day, and then what are the things that you can give thanks for, what are the emotion involved, what are the things that, you know, you should repent and ask God for grace. That's the kind of thing. So, shed ordinary life, and then the next one is ask questions. There are many questions that we have not answered, but you need to ask. You cannot just pen up inside. You ask God, even doubts. You can ask God. And then the fourth thing is that persevere through mistakes. Even in mistake, you see, as I said, that the disciple, not all of them, out of 12 disciples, one denied him, one sold him for 30 pieces of silver, the 10 ran away. When Jesus was caught, how good a gang is that? At least your disciple, your DGL, or what, your participation rate or your attendance rate still more than 50%, right? Come the crucial time, Jesus left alone. He was left alone. But Jesus never gave up on them. So we should never give up on them. Again and again. And we need that love and that patience only God can give us. On a human point of view, we will just give up, right? But God never give up on us. So understanding scripture is not just about interpretation. So when it's about learning, it's not about interpretation. I can teach you methods of interpretation, Bible interpretation methods. You can learn about a lot about the knowledge, about the systematic. You can learn a lot about theology, but it's not about incarnation. Let me ask you, which teaching of Jesus inspire you most throughout the Bible? Four Gospels. Can you recall? Any one of you? Tell me. Which teaching or what saying of Jesus inspire you most that you want to become a Christian? Anyone have answer? Most of us don't have the answer. The only answer we give that, why you become a Christian? Because Christ died on the cross for me. It's not about teaching. It's not about interpretation of truth alone. But it's an incarnation. For God so loved the world. It's not that for God so knows the world that he gave his son. It's not about knowledge. It's about love. It's about incarnation. Truth, the word has become fleshed. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Not just truth, life, relationship, living among us. John said that, yeah, full of the glory and the grace of God, living among us. That is it, incarnation. So the learning, understanding of Scripture is not just pure interpretation, but it is incarnation. So, and this will very important, is that how do you get to know, how you know it clear? Truth become clear when Christ become close. Okay, you can just write it down in your what, no? Truth becomes clear when Christ become close. Isn't it true? When your heart is filled with bitterness and angry, you read the Word of God, you get nothing out of it most of the time. When you're beginning to soften your heart and ask God for forgiveness, or then you realize that it is. All right? So, important thing is that, remember this, from text to person, we are not supposed to read the Bible as it is, as a book. For us, just a book of physics or some story. But it is about the person, God, that who inspires the writing. So the Bible helps us to build connection, have relationship with the person. And this incarnate Word become flesh. God become man. Die on the cross for me. That's relationship. And through that, we begin to move from text to person. And your personal devotion is not about knowledge gathering, but it's about relationship building. Your personal devotion. So I'll just skip this one. So we have to move beyond the surface level faith, right? So typically growth happens when what? The public teaching, you go for a lot of teaching classes, this and that, meets with your private obedience. Nobody knows, no, but you know whether you obey or you don't obey. All right, so what I will propose is that, or suggest to all you, if you have not found a small group, join a small group where your questions are welcome, honest, seeking question, and truth is lived out. And sometimes we fail, sometimes we model well, sometimes we don't, like the disciple as well. But God will give it to us as much as we could, right? And then if you have problem, find a mentor with a mentoring system in Agape. Or if not, you talk to somebody that's more senior, somebody that who have walked with you, you know, somebody further along the way that can help. Then if not, the third one, come up. Can you? Okay. Ask Jesus questions. Prayer is not just speaking, but listening for His voice. Listening for His voice. Not just talk, you talk all the time, but let Jesus talk to you as well. And the last one, can we have that, the last one? Okay, read Scripture relationally. So you don't read Scripture because you need to understand more knowledge. You will get that along the way. To me, actually, it's almost like a byproduct. Sorry to say that. So you don't seek truth for truth's sake. You don't seek knowledge for knowledge. You seek knowledge because of God. Because of relationship. I say revelation is relational. The stronger the relational, you find that you are able to get into the truth. You are able to know the truth. You are able to understand the truth. You are able to internalize the truth. And it becomes incarnation in you. And that is what the Word of God, the Word must become fleshed. The Word doesn't stay here. The knowledge doesn't stay here. It needs to be so that, I skipped the verse from 1 John. He says that, when John says that, you know, the gospel I share with you, the word of life, is what that we have seen, we have heard, we have touched. It's something that you can experience. You can share the gospel with your friend. Can your friend see gospel in you? Can your friend be touched by the gospel effect in your life? Or are we just telling them, no, 你要这样, one step, two steps, three steps, then you become Christian. Or our life have that influence, a living gospel that people can touch and feel and see and hear. And that is what it means. So quickly, so everyone heard Jesus, only disciple understood him. So different is what? Proximity. How close you are. Not about distance, it's about relational intimacy. What's a relational intimacy? It's 1 to 10, how you create yourself. And that will often determine whether you can really understand and learn the Word of God. Often we think that only the high IQ, those that I say, you know, very smart people were able to, or all the scholars. No. I know of a lot of pastors, a lot of scholars, those of old. They don't have a PhD, they don't have even go to the seminary. But the way that they speak, the truth that they're able to get out of the Word of God is just wow. It's out of the world. How do they get there? They never attend this. They don't have big name tutor to tutor them. But they have this heart of seeking. Remember when Jesus said, when He comes, who come? The Spirit of truth. He will lead you into all truth. Do you believe that? That you can know all truth because the Spirit. Remember I said relationship? When Christ was on earth, He has relationship with us. Now Christ being taken away on the cross and ascended to heaven. Who left with us? The Spirit must come. That's why Jesus keep on telling them in chapter 14 and chapter 16 of John Gospel, say, I must go. It's better for you that I go. Because if I don't go, the Spirit will not come. The Spirit come to do what? The Spirit, when He comes, the Spirit of truth will lead you into all truth. And you are able to understand. Your eyes will be open. Your hearts will be fluttering because of the understanding that God gives you. That is what it is. The difference is relational intimacy. So we need to develop that. So our prayer for church is what? First, I pray that God will truly transform our church from just a listening, very passive listening kind of congregation to one who's really actively learning. From one, just like a crowd, tickling of ears, listen to some nice, juicy sermon and then have something to quote during some conversation. More than that, to a community forged by the unity, by our relational intimacy with Christ and with one another. And the third one is not just information. Enough information. Enough, a lot of knowledge. If you don't know it, of course you have to pursue. But more than that, more than information, but transformation. I pray that today you will take on this as you plan your new year. Take on this, say, God, I'm going to move from learning, from listening to learning. I'm going to move from just being a crowd. I'm going to follow you, be committed to the community, and then, Lord, I'm not going to get more information, but I want you to transform my life. And it is what we will do.